Hello, my name is Frank C., and I am a compulsive overeater. When I came into these rooms in 2005, I weighed over 400 pounds. I just went to the doctor yesterday, and I weighed 230 pounds. And I've kept it off, which is the surprising thing, because I used to be able to lose weight, but of course, as soon as I stopped the diet, I'd start gaining it again. I've been in this program now for almost 18 years. It'll be 19, I guess, in come September, if I can make it that far. Let's start off with the beginning. Why I came in, how it was like. I was just miserable in my body, but even my soul was not happy. I mean, there was a physically I hurt. Arthritis in my legs, having trouble going up and down stairs. I went to a different fellowship, and when I finished that meeting, a man came up to me, put his hand on my shoulders, and said, "Frank, when you're ready, I'll take you to an OA meeting." And how dare he tell me that? I mean, I was well over 400 pounds, and my marriage was on the rocks. But it's just the idea that somebody would think that I needed a eating program, but that seed was planted in me, and a few months later, I walked into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. The first meeting I went to, there was this tall blonde lady and two people sitting in the corner. The people sitting in the corner looked like they were upset. They didn't want to be there, and I can understand that. Sometimes I would go to meetings and I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to admit that I had a problem with food. The blonde lady jumped up and gave me a hug and said, "Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home." I didn't know why she said that because I wasn't home. I was at this crazy little office someplace, and I live in Southern California. And it was just one of these things where I was so desperate that I came, but I still was fighting it as much as I could. It took me, I came in little in January, and it wasn't until September I finally got the nerve to ask somebody to sponsor me. I got this old geezer of a guy that it but I didn't know when I asked him, but when I finally found out, he had been in Overeaters Anonymous for probably 30 years, and he had kept his weight off. And he, some people will call some people that really follow the big book thumpers or, Nazi sponsors or whatever. That's what I got. I got somebody who really wanted to set the structure up. And I did my best to follow that structure because I was so desperate. And the weight started coming off, and I was working the steps. It was just one of these things where, well, let me tell you about the first time I found a meeting, though. I found a meeting, they said try five or six meetings and find one that you feel at home at. And one of the meetings I tried, there was a group of about eight people, and this one lady, this is in the year of Katrina, where the flooding in New Orleans and stuff. And it was so funny because she started talking about how when she was watching the TV about Katrina, she wanted to overeat. And in my judgmental mind, I'm saying, "What are you doing? Just turn off the TV," And but the meeting didn't get mad at her. I mean, nobody, was judgmental. They just basically almost stopped the meeting and gave her hugs and said, "It's okay. You're okay. You're safe here." And I was just totally aghast at that whole idea that it was okay to talk about food and talk about being vulnerable. And I heard all the shares about people dropping stuff on the floor and picking it up and eating it, throwing it in the trash and taking it out and eating it, hiding food in the back of the freezer and all this kind of stuff. And I remember one time I shared about I had this super hot chicken wing in my hand, hot temperature hot. And I'm driving into some place, and I'm sticking the chicken leg out the window in the car while I'm driving along, trying to cool it down so I can eat it. And a guy after the meeting came up to me and goes, "Frank, you did it all wrong. You turned on the air conditioning and put it up to the vent." And I knew I was at home in Overeaters Anonymous. People did the crazy stuff with food like I did. Like I said, I found my sponsor. He when I first got to thinking, he said that you have to call me every day. And I said, okay. He says 5:30. And I said, that's not too bad. I'm thinking, well, I get out of work at 4 something. So by the time I get home, I could be calling him at 5:30. It was 5:30 in the morning he wanted me to call him every day. And I did for almost 10 years. And I'm thinking, what kind of crazy guy is on the phone talking to people about food at 5 o'clock in the morning? Well, the crazy guy is my sponsor, and his name was Jack C. And he helped me a lot. And, you know, I got to the point where I trusted talking to him about stuff. And a couple years into the thing, maybe 2.5 years, he said, you know, Frank, you don't have to call me anymore at the morning. Maybe we'll talk once a week. And I said, what? And I made this big commotion. And he said, okay, Frank, you can keep calling me. Keep calling me. So I kept calling him. And, you know, it's just the idea that it turned into something that I didn't want into something that I needed and I wanted. So I lost the weight down to about maybe 300 pounds. Then Jack passed away. Jack got sick and he died. And I got a second sponsor. The second sponsor was fine until the pandemic hit. And then the pandemic hit and he kind of disappeared. So then I got a third sponsor after the pandemic. And he's almost like a disciple of the first sponsor I had, because he's very strict on some of his stuff. So, but that's okay. I need that structure. That Frank needs structure to do this program correctly, because left to my own devices, I'll just eat. I won't count my calories or what I know it's not a diet and calories club, but I won't like watch what I'm eating. I'll just eat what I want to eat. And I just gave up the idea of I know what I need to eat. I gave that idea up. I just follow direction from other people. Right now, let's see. I got stories, all kinds of stories. I dropped food on the floor in the car, and I pick it up, and there's hair on it. I still eat it. One Thanksgiving, the day after, I found 2 half-gallons of ice cream in the refrigerator, because one of the people that was at the house left it there, and I washed it down the drain, and then I called my sponsor. And my sponsor basically told me, Frank, who did you call? I know you didn't call me. I go, what do you mean? He goes, because if you had called somebody, it would have been easier to deal with the problem. And he said, this is a we program. And I, you know, that was the other thing. I mean, I went to meetings. I sent my food in, but picking up the phone and talking to people was hard for me to get into. And, you know, I've had the second sponsor wanted me to call the same person, 3 people every day, which I did for a while. And I talk to people now all over the place, and I'm on the phone all the time. And I'm a speaker getter. That's the other side of it now, doing service. There's a meeting in Orange County, California, where I'm the speaker getter, and I keep looking for people to share for 20 minutes myself. And I'm on the phone constantly talking to people in Overeaters Anonymous. And by doing that, for some reason, that little thing in my head that says, you know, you need a bag of potato chips, or you need a box of cookies, or you need whatever, it gets that voice gets turned down, and I'm able to get through the day abstinent. And I've had 18 plus years of abstinent days. And today I've been abstinent. I haven't touched potato chips or peanuts or pretzels or everything. I've been eating my stuff that's put nothing on my red light or alcoholic food list, and nothing in between. And so far, so good. And it's a little after 6 at my time. I was just miserable before I came in. And I remember, you know, getting looks from people. I got a cut in my leg, and I went in to see the doctor one time, and the doctor looked at me in disgust and said, well, you wouldn't have this problem if you were thinner. Well, he didn't say it thinner. He used another word, obese. And people would judge me, I was very offended when people would look at me and say that. But, I really was. I was obese. I remember washing the car and some kids were going by on bikes and calling me fatso, and I was a fat person. And I'm not today, but inside I know I still feel that way. I mean, I can look in the mirror and I could say I need to lose some more weight. And, I do meetings. I have sponsees. I just worked with somebody today on Tradition 3. And my life is blessed. It's so much calmer. I sleep now better. My marriage is not on the rocks anymore. I eat appropriately. I try to take walks every day. And of course, like I said, I can't do it without the people in the fellowship. And I call people all the time. I'm on the phone constantly with listening to stories. And, I remember this one time this lady shared about how she was so around the holiday. I know Sunday is Easter, but it was around Thanksgiving, how she had nobody to talk to or whatever. And so I was going to call her and cheer her up, and I called her, and she had found a friend, and they had gone to help feed the homeless. And she was telling me all this great stuff that she had, and the day was the best day she ever did. And I'm thinking, wait a second, I'm supposed to be cheering her up, not the vice versa. But that's the way it works in Overeaters Anonymous. When you pick up the phone, you don't know what's going to happen. But, it doesn't always work the way you think it's going to work. And the idea is just to not get isolated. And that was the other thing. I was a sneak eater. I would isolate. I'd get up in the morning and I was so tired because I'd stayed up too late. And on the way to work, I'd buy some donuts and, I'd be eating two or three of them before I even get to work. And then, when I get to work, I'd hit the vending machines and eat the snack foods. And lunchtime, I'd go out and gorge myself. And so the first time I got my sponsor, and we worked out a meal plan, and I had a sandwich, an apple, and a Coke, and I had an hour for lunch. And after 5 minutes, I called my sponsor and said, what am I supposed to do now? Because I had eaten the sandwich, I'd eaten the apple, and I drank the Coke in 5 minutes. And he said, well, if you want a suggestion, why don't you try taking a walk? And I'm going, well, if you want a suggestion, you could pick up the phone and make a few outreach phone calls. Oh. And then the worst one, he said, well, you could start a meeting. And I'm going, what? He goes, yeah, why don't you start a lunch meeting where you work? And I'm going, no, I want to know what I'm going to do with the next 55 minutes of my life. Oh, my sponsor was a crack up. I don't know. My life today, I tell you what I do when I get up today. I get up today, I brush my teeth, and I go put some water on, and I make some tea. I sit in the kitchen and do some reading. I have three of the daily affirmation books, and I read out of them, and I pick something out of it. I write down a sentence or two, and then I write something about how I relate to that sentence. And then I call my OA sponsor. And then sometimes he answers the phone immediately, and sometimes he calls me back and, 10 minutes or half an hour later, and we talk about it. And that's how I start my morning. Every day I go sit in the kitchen and with my cup of tea, and I read my books. I pray all the time. My latest addition to my morning prayers is I say, God, please help me want the life I have. Because sometimes I want to be something else, or I don't want to have what I'm dealing with in front of me. But I've added that to my prayer. Please, God, help me want the life I have. And it's about acceptance. It's about being joyful for what the abundance I've been given. I mean, I can sit in this room and I can be on a Zoom meeting. I have a car. I can drive to in-person meetings, which I do. There's one OA in-person meeting I go to. In fact, I'm the I'm the intergroup rep for that meeting, and so I go to the intergroup meetings. I've done service above the group level. Thank you. And it's just it's my life is different than it was before because I see my life differently. Before it was all about what do I get now when I'm going to a meeting. I'll tell that story. I went to a meeting one time in Orange County. It was a panel meeting, and there could have been 50 people. And I'm thinking about, well, before that, what had happened is, it had been like 3.5 years, and I wasn't losing any weight. I stopped losing weight, and I'm talking to my sponsor about it, and I'm going, why am I coming? I'm not losing any more weight, and, you know, I'm whining and complaining. And so he said, let's go to that panel meeting. So we went to the panel meeting, and basically he told me I have to keep praying for some kind of guidance. So I'm praying. I go, God, why am I coming to OA? That's basically I'm whining in that when I'm praying. And when I get to the meeting and I hear these beautiful people speak about their abstinence in OA, I'm still thinking, why am I here? Because I don't get what these people are getting somehow. But then as I'm turning to leave, I see one person that I know from the location that they were from another area, and that they were the area that I know, not Orange County. And I went up to that person, gave her a hug and said, well, hi, and we talked for a second, and then I walked out. And I wanted the guidance. I wanted something that I know that my higher power was listening to me. And what happened is I heard that lady share about 3 or 4 months later that she was thinking of stopping and going to OA because her life wasn't that great. And she didn't know if OA was helping her. And she said, she prayed to God, you know, give me a sign that I should stay here. And she says, just as I finished that prayer, this guy came up to me that I know from the area, and he gave me a hug and he said, welcome. And she said, that's told me to stay in Overeaters Anonymous. And that answered my prayer too, because that's when I go to meetings, it's not always about me. Sometimes it's about me helping somebody else. And if I hold that idea in my head when I wake up in the morning, it's just not all about me. I try to be the strongest, best friend I can be so I can help others. Maybe it may be just a phone call, or it may be to sponsor them, or it may be to set up chairs or something like that in the meetings. You know, it's a much better life, and I'm so happy that I woke up this morning and had another day to be abstinent. So, anyways, that's enough for me. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Frank. Would you like to leave your number?
Yes, my name is Frank C., and my cell number is 310-658-2296. 310-658-2296.
Okay, and we usually ask to leave us with a topic to discuss. Would you care to do that tonight?
Yes. How about what did you do for your abstinence today?
Okay. I think I forgot to turn off the recording.